This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Plato. When you think of famous port cities known for their great beers, the first city that probably comes to mind is, well, Milwaukee. But Portland may be giving Beer City a run for that title, as you can hear in our audience. They're eager to get rid of that idea about Milwaukee being the prime city. Portland, that's because Portland has more breweries per capita than any other city in the country. Yeah. And last week, the city celebrated Beer Week, where you could sample everything from local lagers to the wildest sour beers. And if you missed out, don't worry, because July is Craft Beer Month in Oregon. So you'll have another opportunity, and you're going to need all 31 of those days to taste 171 different brewing companies working out of 70 different cities throughout the state. And of course, on the table here, I've started my own unscientific sampling, but that's another story. I've been going through the beer in Portland here, and it's delicious. Well, what makes Portland a good place for brewing beer? What's the difference between lagers and ales? And how do hops, yeast, and malt come together to make that perfect pint? That's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the hour. And if you want to step up to the microphones and ask everything you wanted to know about the beer you've been drinking for all these years, please go up there. We'd be happy to answer your questions. Let me introduce my next guests, who are some of the area's brew experts. Ben Tilley is the owner of Agrarian Ales in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira.
You're welcome. Leon Fife is a microbiologist with the Craft Brew Alliance, which includes local brands like Widmer Brothers and Red Hook. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much.
Leon, what does a microbiologist do in a brewery?
It's a tough job. It's a real tough job.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, someone's got to do it. You know, the microbiologist has two real roles in a brewery. We really consider ourselves kind of the guardians of the beer. And those two roles are really protecting the beer from contamination before it leaves the brewery, and also making sure that fermentation is consistent, that the fermentation profiles, that the yeast is happy, healthy, viable, and is managed appropriately to be able to accomplish that task. And ale and the lagers yeast, they're actually two different species. They behave much differently. They require much different inputs in terms of getting them to ferment and create the thing that we love so much, the beer, the alcohol, and a lot of the other metabolic byproducts of that. So lager yeast, they like conditions much colder. They ferment differently. They ferment at the bottom of a fermenter tank is what we call it. We call them bottom fermenters, whereas ales, they ferment towards the top. And so if you look at them and you observe the yeast and how they behave in their environment, you can see this, especially a lot of home brewers can see this as in their glass carboys, their 5-gallon carboys. We can't see this because I'm looking at big steel tanks all day. But if you look at it, you can see how the yeast behaves differently. And you can see how it behaves differently based on temperature. And a lager yeast prefers a much cooler temperature versus an ale yeast.
Yeah, so it's manipulating the yeast, choosing the right yeast that turns it into the kind of beer that you want to. You have to make the yeast happy.
Yes.
The kind of yeast you want to use to make a beer.
Yeah. You make the yeast happy, you make the people happy.
I can see that on a label someplace. Ben, you have a different setup than Leon. You're brewing small batches out of a converted dairy barn. So you really have to brew with the season, right? How does that affect what you can do?
That's correct. Yeah, we're I guess what you'd call a very low technology brewery. We converted an old dairy barn that was built in the early '40s into a brewery. Most beer was historically brewed on a farm, and so we're trying to replicate how beers were originally made back in that era. We practice, I guess, what you call adaptive brewing, whereas, you know, yeast is a live organism, and so depending on the conditions it's exposed to, it's going to behave differently. And so our brewery being low tech, we aren't able to control every component of the conditions, be it the climate, the temperature, the moisture, the pressures. So we adapt to what that living organism adapts to in order to produce that end result. And so I guess it is a little bit of a different way of brewing in that we're not trying to produce a consistent product each time, but just to produce the product that that living organism, the yeast, is meant to produce each time.
Do the temperatures of the seasons determine which,
temperatures
whether it's ale
make a
or
difference.
Lager?
Yeah. Like Leon said, you know, ale yeast can handle a little bit higher temperatures. Lager yeast prefer lower temperatures and take a little more time to produce. So depending on what the specific seasonal conditions are, we will adjust what yeast we use, what ingredients we use to make the beer that's most specific for the season.
All right, now I have the enviable task. I have 5 different brews on my desk here. And I have been assigned to taste test them along with you. Now there's one here that's really dark. This is like, you can't even see through this one. You're smiling. Should I be afraid?
No.
Surprised
to
taste this one?
It is dark. It is a porter.
Dandy porter?
We name it Dandy. What we make is we make an English-style mild brown porter. A lot of the American porters that you have a real robustness to them, real roasty up front, have a big full-bodied flavor right up front.
Wow.
And hold on.
Wow. It's almost like coffee.
We make an English style, and the reason we name it Dandy is because we're a farm-based brewery. We attempt to grow most of our own ingredients on site and use what we have endemic to our local area. So Dandy incorporates dandelion roots that we harvest out of our hop fields in January.
Dandelion roots.
Dandelion roots, not the leaves, but the actual roots.
I've got to taste it again to find
those
roots.
When you
find my roots in here.
When you take the roots out of the ground and open them up, they bleed a little milky white substance like a fig or, you know, a thistle would. And that's a very sugary substance. When you dry and roast it, it almost gets a characteristic of a chocolate cake, kind of a mild, non-sweet cocoa. And we add that into the beer to give it a little bit of body to the malt profile because it's so light with the English-style porter recipe that we're after. And gives it a nice, earthy cocoa flavor that
it really is good.
Just fills the flavor out.
Yeah, you grow your own hops on-site?
We do. We're a very small brewery. We only have about 2.5 acres surrounding the brewery, but that's enough to supply 100% of what we need for our hop inputs. We grow a lot of different herbs, too. Hops have only been used in beer really exclusively for the last 500-600 years. Before that, there were a range of different herbs that were used. Out of the Northern Isles, heather was used. Herb heather was used out of Scotland for a long time. Chamomile and lemon balm and other different herbs were used historically to bitter beer and balance that sweet malt profile. Hops were kind of discovered as a really ideal element to balance heavy malt bills for certain styles of European and German style beers. And I think it was the year 1516, the Reinheitsgebot law from Germany mandated that only 4 ingredients could go into a beer, and that was water, yeast, malt, and hops as the bittering agent. So that's when hops really got defined as that main component of beer. But prior to that, there were a range of herbs used to create that balance from the sweet malt in there. And so we attempt to utilize whatever comes out of the ground in the farmland that's around us, historic farms used to do and a few centuries ago to create the styles that we try and replicate today.
It's delicious. If you have a question about beer, please raise your hand. We'll get the mic to you. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. While we're getting the mic over to somebody, Oregon is the second highest hop-growing state in the country. They grow second only to Washington.
Yeah, about 60% of all the hops grown in the country are in the Yakima Valley. It's a nice, dry, arid landscape, and the Columbia River allows irrigation to come into there, so there's a lot of hops that can be grown there. Oregon is second. About 30% of the hop production in the country comes from the northern part of the valley, and the rest is spread out over Idaho and a few other states.
You know, I had a beer last night, as of course I was doing my homework here, but it was so bitter I could hardly drink it. Is that due to the selection of hops and the amount of hops in the beer?
Usually, yeah. The hops are the main component of what is responsible for the bittering. Yeast can accentuate the bitterness of the hops, but for the most part, it's copious use of the amount of hops, varieties of hops, and using them in several different ways. You can use them as a bittering agent, mm-hmm. Putting them in to boil to really extract those bittering units out. You can add them into the part of the process for a short period of time of boiling to just get some flavor or aromas out. And then after the beer's pretty much done its fermentation, you can do what's called dry hopping, is where you add dried hops to the already fermented batch of beer, kind of on the cold side, you would call it, to just extract those fine essences, those really high-end qualities, kind of like pressing extra virgin olive oil just to get those really choice characteristics out there to
you make
to
it
add
sound so romantic. You know, it's, you love your work. Let's go to the audience up here. Yes.
Yes, I had a question about fresh hopping beer. I happen to have hops growing in my backyard because I live in Portland. And I just happened to pop one into my beer and squeeze it a little bit, and it tasted amazing. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Yeah, a lot of breweries here in the Northwest produce once a year a fresh hop beer. You'll usually see it in the months of September and October. Hops are harvested usually at the end of August, early September. And so each brewery works with their local farmer or wherever they can source a fresh hop and attempt to create a beer and create a timing to where the farmer can actually deliver the hops right at the premium time, dump them into the beer as fresh as possible. If any of you are participating in any culinary crafts, it's similar to using fresh versus dried herbs. Putting in dried garlic and fresh garlic into a batch, into a meal, will create a different element than using just one or the other. So fresh hops in that manner, you know, there's definitely a more earthy green scents that you get from that fresh herb as opposed to that concentrated dry herb. But it is a phenomenon where we grow hops here that we're able to produce something for the local consumers to have that experience of that hop right as it comes off the vine and right as it is extracted into the beer and drank fresh.
Do you all have wild hops growing in your backyard? Yeah? Wow, I have dandelion. It's, although we can make beer out of that, I'm sure, yeah. Let's go to the question up here, yes.
Yeah. I know that in wine there's a lot of thought given to the terroir of the vineyards and, you know, the environments and the place that the grapes come from. Is there a similar amount of thought given to the location and terroirs of the hops that you guys get?
Hops definitely... just like grapes or any other ingredient that you grow, will have a characteristic that comes from that specific place that they grow. And wine definitely, you know, has utilized that aspect to create differences. Beer has, I feel, so many more opportunities to be diverse and creative and artistic, that while the terroir of the ingredients is important, it hasn't risen to the level of importance that it has in wine, because there's so much opportunity for creativity in the art of brewing that we just haven't gotten to that point yet in beer that wine has gotten there to. We definitely put a focus on that at Agrarian, and I think in general, craft brewers here in Oregon and the Northwest and around the country have a desire to create characteristics in their product that are endemic of the place that they're from. It just hasn't matured as a part of the industry yet.
Do you think it will?
The same way wine has. It's definitely going that direction. Hops, you can travel around to a lot of different breweries where they've started to put small hop fields into their landscape or into chunks of land. They've started to collaborate with farmers for hop growing, for malting, for growing grains, for growing herbs. We try and keep our ear to the ground for, you know, any of the farmers in the valley and in the state that are trying to grow ingredients to source directly to local farmers.
So really, it's an art. Happening. It's an art as well as a science.
It is. Yeah. It is. You know, I think beer was created through, you know, necessity and through the desire to produce art. Today we have this wonderful revolution of craft brewing that does revolve around the science and the deep understanding of what's really happening with this live organism yeast and how it's interacting with these, you know, components and ingredients that we put together. So it's definitely
raw its way there. Raw materials though are becoming more important, you know, as we look at, you know, for all craft brewers, it doesn't matter whether, you know, like Ben, you know, being more small scale and trying to be more in touch with it, or if you're a larger craft brewer and you're trying to understand consistency from batch to batch, it's becoming more important because you want to be able to sustain. You want sustainability, and sustainability is understanding raw materials. So,
all right, well, that's a good place to end. Everything we've wanted to know about beer. Ben Tilley, owner of Agrarian Ales in Eugene, Oregon. Leon Fife, microbiologist with the Craft Brew Alliance in Portland. Thank you for taking time to tell us all about beer. Thank you all.